and then all of a sudden God opened his eyes and he was out there in this congregation that they would have been preaching to. And I thought about that when I think about this church. I think about what few people would I put in the church if I was going to find the perfect church? Because here's what I believe. I believe we were put here. We're on earth looking for something perfect. We're looking for the perfect wife, the perfect house, the perfect church, the perfect preacher. And we're looking for this perfect thing here on earth, and it ain't here. We're imperfect people serving a perfect God. And we search forever. I've built 44 cabins now. I can't wait to build the perfect cabin. It ain't coming. I know my mistakes. I look at it and I see all the mistakes. And so we're looking for the perfect church. And I put up a list of people that would be in the church if I could have the perfect church. The perfect church. And one would be Dolores Malashek. You don't know her, but I do. And here's how I knew her. I came to Gilman the first time I came to Gilman, and I thought everybody was like my mother. My mother, when a traveling preacher would come along, would take him out to dinner. We'd go to our house. We had 14 kids there, and she'd fry chicken, and we had the preacher over every time. That's just the way it was at our house. And I thought everything was like my perfect little family. And I come to Gilman the first weekend I came there, and I sat at the door shaking people's hands and shaking people's hands. I got to the last one, and no one invited me to dinner. It's not the perfect world. And so the second week I come, and that's when God called us to Gilman. And it just so happened that this lady shows up. I don't know if you're a member or not by now. You know, you're just here. And she says, hey, has anybody invited you to dinner? I said, no. Her name was Dolores Malashek. Dolores Malashek told me the story about when she had her third child. She died on the operating table. And she said she was depressed for about seven years, she said, about the fact that God brought her back from this place. And Dolores Malashek, when she'd tell you about this place she went to, she just light up. And I want you to know, when I preached to Dolores Malashek out there in the congregation, I ain't kidding you, it was like two light bulbs was looking at me. She's out there and she just all smiles. And man, I love preaching to Dolores Malashek. Matter of fact, when I did her service, she said, Tim, tell the story at my service. And here's what I found out. Her third son hated that story, because a mother would have rather been to that place than with her children. That's the woman I'm talking about. Dolores, she'd have been in the church if I had the perfect church. Charles Henry Wilson would have been there. He's my dad, you see. Now, not all the time. Sometimes he was a grouch. And sometimes he'd say things that was just quite, you know, his way of arguing with mom was never biblical, really. He'd say, you win, I lose, and he'd walk off. That don't work, Dad. That you didn't teach me nothing about how to argue with my wife. But let me tell you, when he did teach me about church, when he'd lost his eye and had no sight at all. He lost his eye earlier, but he had no sight. He got cancer, and he found out I was preaching at Lionville, Iowa, and he had asked me already to preach his service when he died. And he asked me to sing the song, What a Day That Will Be. And I did. But Dad came to church a few weeks before that, and he came up to Lionville, and I was preaching there, and I remember sitting there thinking, what a waste to sing a song to a dead man. And so I started singing. There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. I want you to know, my dad, who never was any kind of a Pentecostal of any kind or anything like that, here's what he did. While I was singing, he was in gray sweatpants, tennis shoes, and a gray shirt. He didn't have his glasses on because he had no eye to look out of. And my dad reached up and grabbed the pew, reached up and grabbed it with his other hand, pulled himself up, threw his hands to heaven, and tears running down his face, just worshiping God. When we sing hallelujah today, it just reminded me of that. You know, he was a blind man, a sick blind man, wasn't scared to worship God. I want Dad in church today. I want him in my perfect little church, just like that. I want a little girl I seen down at Trenton. Man, I was in a church service, and I didn't know what was going on out there. But all of a sudden, I'd hear, glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. This is the back of a Baptist church, and it's dark back there. And I'm thinking, who in the world got turned loose in a Baptist church? Who got set free in this church if they can decide to say hallelujah if they want to say it? And so I find out in the end, this is a girl that's got cancer. She has no hair, and she's back there on the back, and she's just so excited about what Christ has done. And here's what she told me. She said, Tim, I had an encounter with Jesus Christ in Rochester, Minnesota, and man, I ain't got over it. And it's just so exciting when you talk about him. And man, I want that girl in my perfect little church. You know, I want her to be in my perfect little church. And here's the sad part, and I just got to tell this to tell this. Her grandma kept trying to shut her up. Somebody got set free, and someone else is trying to shut them up. Dear God, turn some loose. Turn some of them loose. I tell the story about Bob the drunk and Bob the evangelist. They came to Gilman City at the same time. Was you there? Was you there? Okay. You got to hear it. They showed up together. Not together, but they showed up. I'm on the front row and I hear this guy back there saying, that's right, preacher, tell him how it is. I'm thinking, well, who got turned loose in the Baptist church, you know? Someone got set free. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And or where some other spirits are, there's freedom too. Anyhow, he cut loose back there, and when I got done, I realized what was going on, and I told Bob the evangelist at the door. I said, Bob, I'm sorry about that. I'm just sorry about that. He said, I'm not. I wish some of them other folks would get some of that. I think I want Bob the drunk in my church. I think I do. I want someone who ain't ashamed to shout out and say something. I got called by John Brooks yesterday. Come down to Macedonia next week. I'm going to be in Macedonia next week. I'm not preaching there, but I'm going. He asked me to preach. I said, not next week, John. I'm not ready. You got to get ready for that. You can't just stroll in there. I had a guy when I was preaching at Macedonia, the black church in Kansas City. I'm preaching, this guy in the choir won't shut up. He keeps saying, tell us about it, preacher. Tell us about it, preacher. Tell us what you're talking about, preacher. And I said, I'm getting ready to tell you. If you just sit still. I want that guy in my church. Give me that guy who won't shut up back here. Tell me about it, preacher. Tell me about it. I want him to show up. I want my cousin Jimmy Miller, who had a cord around his neck when he was born and walked crippled his whole life and could barely talk. I want him in my church. Man, the day I was voted in to be the preacher at Gilman City, February 20th of 2000, I'll tell you what happened. I was up in Omaha taking my dad to the Veterans Hospital. I went by and seen Jimmy. And Jimmy kept telling his mother, he didn't talk well. He's my age, all right? He kept telling his mom, tell Tim, tell Tim. Tell Tim. I said, what is it, Jimmy? He said, I'm going to be baptized tomorrow. My cousin Jimmy Miller was baptized the day they voted me in, February 20th of 2000. And the fact that he was baptized meant more to me than anything else that went on that day. I want Jimmy in my church. Someone who ain't ashamed to come and tell a grown man, another grown man telling another grown man I got saved. I want someone like that in our church. I want the girl from Gilman City. She was redheaded and simple. And one day she kept begging me, asking me, can I get up to the pulpit and say something? And I didn't let her. I was hesitant. I said, write it out what you're going to say. I want to. And finally she wrote it out, and I let her get up there. And here's what happened when she got up to the pulpit on a Sunday night in Gilman City. This girl. She gets up, opens up her, what she's going to say, and she just says, I want a Christian friend, and starts bawling. I just want a Christian friend. And ladies come around the pulpit and prayed with that girl. It was one of my most exciting moments in Gilman City. I want her in my church. I want her to be there. I never had more comments on a special that was sang in our church than when Dennis and Maggie came and sang for us in Gilman City. I want them to sing the special. That's my perfect church. But they're not here, most of them. It's just us guys. We need some sick folks. We need some sick folks. We need some cancer victims. We need some people that ain't scared to say they need a Christian friend. You can be lonely as all get out right inside of a church and not have friends. Church of Philippi. This flipping through Philippians. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians. I'll try to be fast. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I came to my pastor, Gary Urich, a lot of years ago, almost 20 now. And I told him one day, I just decided, I said, Gary, God can't use me. Because I believe God was dealing with me about ministry. But I just come to the conclusion, he can't use me. He's got to get someone else. Of course, I found the scripture that said, he chooses the foolish things. Well, I thought, well, I've been a fool my whole life. So he can use that. But anyhow, I told Gary he can't use me. And Gary brought me to this verse. He said, listen, he has begun a good work in you. You're not done yet. You ain't done yet. He just begun a good work in you. I'm not the finished product yet. I'm not done. I'm just at work. I told the guy I'm building for, I told him, I said, there's different stages of houses. I said, there's the stage, this is a stage we was in. It was, the house was wet. It was looked nasty. It just didn't look, and in my mind, I know what it's going to look like when we're done, see? And so I know the vision of this thing, and so I'm trying to encourage him. I said, you remember that sixth grade girl that had bow legs and thick glasses and buck teeth? And she was very ugly when you were in school. And then 6 years later, you wish you'd have been nicer to her when she was in sixth grade. This house is in the sixth grade girl area. It's not done yet. One of these days, I'm going to be beautiful, folks. But it's going to be too late to deal with me because I'm going to be away from this earth. He's begun a good work in me. I'm not perfect yet. I ain't where I ought to be. He's just begun a good work in me. Gary Urich encouraged me to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. And then in verse 15 of chapter 1, some indeed preach Christ even to envy and strife, while some also of goodwill. And my dad, years ago, I asked him, I said, what was the purpose of, and some of you are too young to understand this, of PTL, what happened with PTL and Jim Baker and Jimmy Swagger. That all happened right around the time I graduated in that area. And I remember that happened. It hurt people. Amen? I mean, some of us are my age. We remember these things. We don't. And I said, what about those people that they ministered to? And he said, if they preach Jesus to them and they receive Jesus, it don't make no difference. And Paul said, if they preach Christ out of vain glory, it don't make no difference. If Jesus Christ is preached and people believe, what difference does it make? I always love to tell this. If God can use a chicken in the Bible and God can use a donkey in the Bible, he'd certainly use me. And some Christians, I like to say, are chickens sitting on their donkey. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's wonderful. On my dad's tomb, it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Man, I don't have to go there every time they have that decorating day. You know why? When I grow there, he won't shut up. He just don't shut up. He keeps saying, hey, I'm not here. I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord. I love that. Me to live is Christ. To die is gain. If there's any consolation, chapter 2, that's the encouragement I get. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort, any love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, and I think we need this very much so, but I find myself in the comfort part of this. And here's what I want you to know about encouragement and comfort. You can't live on a steady diet of it. Got to be some rebuke. There's got to be some rebuke. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How do we get his mind in us? We start reading what he said, and we start thinking like he thinks. I love it when we see our minds change. He changes our mind, and I love that he does that. He cleanses. By the cleansing of water, by the word, he cleanses us. In chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and under the earth, and that every knee should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When I read that, I always think about the passage in Romans, and someone said, it doesn't mean that. Well, this is what it means. Listen to me. In Romans, it said, you shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Here it says every knee should bow. This is at the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow at the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Because if you don't, you shall bow one of these days. You should or shall. You should when the gospel is preached, but you shall one of these days, because the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, he's Lord. And they will. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Man, I got a good story on that one. Listen, this happened. These are nuggets from my life. This is my life going through Philippians. I'm flipping through my life what God's dealt with me in Philippians. We had a mission trip. Roger Barker was mission director. And man, I brought a friend of mine, and I love him to pieces. I call him Grouchy, and I love him. His name's Terry Gutshaw. He's from Gilman. And I love the guy. I absolutely love this guy. We ate chili together. We argued all the time. I said, you should have got married. You could argue to somebody. But he didn't have anybody to argue with, so he argued with me. We just had a good time together. All those years there, we had a really good time. I consider him a friend. But he grumbled a lot. And so one day we was at the Bethany annual meeting, and Roger Barker gets up, and his verse he had for the mission trip was this: do all things without murmuring and disputing or grumbling and griping, basically, is what his translation said. Do everything without. So Terry's sitting by me, so I'm just elbowing him, you know. Are you listening? And right when Roger gets up to tell this, the mic went off. You couldn't hear nothing. And Terry don't hear well anyhow. The mic went off. And Roger's telling about it. He's telling all about it. And Terry keeps looking at me like, why are you elbowing me? I want you to hear this. You guys go to church with people and you think, boy, I hope they heard that. And they really need to hear that. I'm sitting with him, and soon as Roger gets done, the mic comes on. And I remember sitting there thinking, I needed that. I needed to hear, do everything without griping and complaining. I needed to hear that. It's so easy to see that in someone else and not in yourself. So I got that highlighted in all my Bibles. You don't think you're a griper or a grumbler? You let God deal with you on that, all right? Let him deal with you. You think about it a little bit. Timothy was sent in verse 19. It says, shortly unto you that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul sent Timothy to encourage several churches throughout the Bible. He was encouragement. And we find in chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for your sake it is safe. You know, we're preaching the same. I went to Gilman with 6 messages. I got them all wrote in front of this Bible. I preached them 3,000 times, I think. And I preached the same message. You know, Jesus saves. And we ought to tell people about him. That's what we need to preach. Paul gets into this part about leaving what is behind. Verse 12 of chapter 3, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And I like what one of the translations says about that. It says that I may lay hold of why he laid hold of me. And I word it this way for myself. I need to get a hold of why he got a hold of me. You need to get a hold of why he got a hold of you. It's bigger than just sitting in this pew here. You need to get a hold of why he got a hold of you. I'm now, and I'm so thankful, I can title myself, the chaplain of the Missouri Trappers Association. I'm in 2,000 houses in Missouri. I'm in prisons because some of our guys are in prison. I get letters from them. I get calls from guys to pray for them. And, man, I'm having more fun than if I had sense. I'm the chaplain for the Missouri Trappers Association. You know, getting a hold of why he got a hold of you. I want you to know, does anybody here know Clay Creech? You know why? Because I know him. And that's why God got a hold of me. You see, I know these guys, the trap, and you don't know them at all. Now, I want you to know my first, they didn't even have a chaplain. It wasn't like I took somebody's place. I resigned as district director because I hated being the district director because it just reminded too much of church. They got one guy that does everything, and I already got one of those jobs. I don't need two of those dudes. So I dropped it. And on the way home, the president called me, Tim, this ain't a vote or nothing. Some of us guys decided we want you to be our chaplain. And man, I'll tell you something, I've never been late on a newsletter. I love writing newsletters to those old boys because you got to get a hold of why he got a hold of you. You know, I'm a chaplain now of the Missouri Trappers Association. Absolutely love it. Let me tell you what happened the first year I preached my message. I went out and invited everybody. Man, I preached. And when I invited everybody, Tommy Alexander, he rode with me, so he felt obligated to come. And he came. And one other guy, there was three of us at the first service, you know. And you can get discouraged if you want to, but you know what? I just kept working with them and physically working with the people. And worked with them. Man, I had one guy, he was tough. We didn't get along that well. And anyhow, that's a long story. I won't get into that because it's a big one. It'll be in the book. But you got to get a hold of why he got a hold of you. I'm a trapper. I build log cabins, and I meet a lot of people in my journey that you'll never know. And I get to witness to those people because I got a hold of why he got a hold of me. When I run into a situation, I don't think it just so happened that I got here. I don't think it just was an accident. No, I run into people all the time, and I know that God's dealing with these people. And that's why we're there. So get a hold of why he got a hold of you. That's Philippians 3:12. And Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself, this is 13, to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And everybody comes into this church even today with a past, things that's happened behind you, and some of them good. Paul's talking really about good things that he's done in the past. He says, I put all my good stuff behind me. I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to do, put off that past. I like what one person said. They said, if you look at your car, the rear view mirror is a lot smaller than the windshield, which means you should look back a lot less than you look forward. You shouldn't. What are you doing back there, you know? That's forgiven. And anyhow, in this church at Philippi, they would have had a perfect church had it not been for these two women in chapter 4 and verse 2. I can't pronounce their names, but you can read it. He said, I beseech this woman and I beseech this other woman that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And that's the only rebuke in the whole church. It was two women couldn't get along. Some men could say, amen. Amen. Some man, this wife didn't hear it. Amen. Because that's the only trouble they found was right there. That's the only trouble you find in this passage. There's nothing else going that's upsetting anything. But you got to understand, when a church first starts, there isn't all the trouble in it there is after it's been established a while, really. And so when they start up, I remember my dad had a church at the Lake Marie, and it was one of my highlights as a boy. I was 15 years old, And people got saved practically every Sunday. He started a church at Mercer. We called the people at Lake Marie the Lakers, all right? And he started a church for the Lakers. And we was out there, and it was so exciting. Man, we had the biggest drug pusher in Mercer got saved one Sunday morning. We baptized him in a cow tank in that church. It was so exciting. But here's what happened. All different denominations started coming to that church. And they brought their ideas. And this happens. It's in this church right here. I guarantee you. There's people in this church from different denominations who will tell you, you got to be baptized. I guarantee you. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you. Because I've found the hardest demon to get out of a person is raisin. The raisin demon. I was raised that way. It's raisin, man. You got to get rid of those raisins. What does the scripture say? And I watched my dad after this exciting church. It was probably his highlight of ministry. I believe it. I watched him come down the aisle to leave one day, and two women jumped him and started chewing him out because he said you didn't have to be baptized to be saved. And they chewed him and chewed him and chewed him. My dad resigned that day. And I want you to know what I did. I was 15 years old. I watched my dad leave a church in tears. And here's what I did. I ain't ever going back there. I'm never going back to church. I ain't never going back. Because two women couldn't keep their mouth shut. It's quiet in here. Be anxious for nothing, it says in 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. People have asked me, what's the hardest command in the Bible? And I said, it's right there. That's the hardest one. Be anxious for nothing. I got 5 kids, 7 grandkids, 1 on the way. 3 son and daughter-in-laws. I'm living in somebody else's house, driving someone else's truck. Be anxious about nothing, Tim. It's all good. It's all good. I got my own wife. I managed to keep a one wife deal, you know. But it is. It's hard to be. You know what, I find that here's the verse for you. I think it's Isaiah 26:3. I think I'm right. I may be wrong on that. You need to find it. But it says this. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. You know why we get anxious? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Because we get to thinking about everything. We're like Peter walking on the water. We get to looking around. What do you mean, trust you? Don't you know I got this, what I got coming up? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That's where we lose our peace, right there. It is. We get to worrying about the water sinking us, you know. Everything around us is going to sink us. And we get to worrying. And there we are. Be anxious for nothing. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And this is a use of the mind, you know, what we think about things. Are we generally positive about things? Or my friend Ashley Deskins, and he's a good friend of mine, he's negative about everything, and I'm positive about everything. And we always said together we were a full cup. But he said he has 2 sayings. He said, what can go wrong will go wrong, and when it's going good, it's an ambush. He can't enjoy anything, you know. Think on these things. I had a woman came to our Wednesday night service, and here's what she said. Well, the corner church is closing, and I don't know. She had like 7 different bad reports of our association. And here's what I came back with. And I said, and Emmanuel's building on. We just built. I went on with a bunch of stuff. yeah, it's easy to get into, it's doom and gloom, you know. I got a ball game one night. I couldn't sit by him. I had to move. He didn't think we could win anything. Whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things of praise. You know, that song, I'm so glad the praise team sang that song today. I've heard that on the radio, but I never knew the words. Hallelujah. Man, that was powerful for me today. I mean, that was powerful. That was a powerful song. And whatsoever things, is there any praise? It's like Paul's saying, is there any praise? You know? Or is everything just bad? Let me tell you about my two brothers, all right? I got a brother Bob who's blind. I got a brother Randy who 24 years ago lost his 17-year-old son. Let me tell you what they told me, all right? And they both have a lot in this world. I've talked to them both, and here's what Randy said. I'd give everything I have for 5 minutes with Nate. And here's what my brother Bob said. He said him and his wife got together one day, and they're 64 years old. He owns about 800 acres of land, and he's doing well. I mean, and he said this. Me and Mary got together and said, if I could have my eyesight back, we would start with nothing and start again. And I left my brother's house, and you know what I said when I got in the truck? I'm rich. I'm the richest one. I've got all my boys and my daughter, and I got my eyesight. Think on these things. You don't think you're rich? Yeah, you are. You're rich. There's people who give everything they have for what you got. So I'm the wealthiest one. You can tell them I said so. The wealthiest Wilson son is me. All my children are here, and I have my eyesight. Think on that a bit. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's a big one. He does give us strength. He gives us strength for the journey. You know, we want a lot of strength ahead of time, but he don't do that. He gives us strength for the journey. And I end with verse 19, but my God, Paul says this, my God shall supply all your need to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God, he'll supply all you need. Why did Paul know that? Because Paul had all he needed supplied. That's how he knew that. Let me just tell you this much. Ministry 20 years. My God has supplied all my needs according to his glory. I've always got all I need. And if you ever ask my boys at work, I'll say, we always have what we need, don't we? And we always do have what we need. We always do. We was building the cabin we built on TV a while back, and I counted the rafter logs 20 times that day, and I was one short, Ron. We put them up and had enough. We put them up, and I went back and counted again. I thought, I counted them things 20 times. I was one short. And we started putting them up, and I don't know. Maybe he likes me best. No, I think my God will supply all of our needs. I jokingly say I'm driving someone else's truck and living in someone else's house. I want to tell you something. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He takes care of us. That's what he does. He takes care of us. You know, sometimes we're just too scared to take a step, you know, and do anything. He supplies all of our needs. I'm working for a man right now who is, I don't know exactly how to describe him, but he's become a good friend of mine. And I began to pray to God last April, May, somewhere in that area, that he would lead me where he wanted me to be, you know, because I believe we ought to be where he wants us. And I prayed this prayer. I was preaching at Princeton First and Gilman seeing where I was going to go and didn't know what God, I knew God was dealing with me and I didn't know what to do exactly. And he made it so clear going to Gilman that I just asked him, I said, Lord, make it clear to me. And I said, wherever you want me to be, I want someone to give me a piece of land that I can build on. Does God not have the cattle on a thousand hills? He has the hills too, doesn't he? So I, getting ready to tell Princeton or tell Gilman what's going to happen, didn't know what was going to happen. And something, you see, God shows up. God showed up at the guy I work for named Tim Ola. Tim comes to me that week and give me my check, which he give my boys a raise, which we didn't ask for. He give us all a raise. When you're building someone's house and they give you a raise, that's different. That's really a different setting. How many of you ever had that happen? I mean, you know, they say, we're not paying you enough. We need to pay you more. Wow, okay, that's cool. I come and he walks up with his check, hands it to me, turns around and says, Tim, he now has 380-some acres down there, 8,000 feet of shoreline. He said, Tim, you can build a house here or build anything you want here on this land. You can have it. And I said, hold it, just a second now. Come back here. I'm getting ready to make a decision, so come over here, Tim. I said, let me get this now, because you don't know what I prayed, obviously. So tell me that again. He said, you can have any of this land you want. Got a real good lookout over the, oh, it's just pretty. And my prayer was answered right there. Where am I supposed to be? Right where I'm at. That's where I'm supposed to be with them guys, because I believe I've got a hold of why he got a hold of me. And the people we work for and the people we're around and the trappers I get to minister to, man, I wouldn't trade nothing for where I'm at right now, because my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he does that. So that's Philippians for me. Maybe you've never trusted him. Maybe that's the case. Maybe you just never trusted him. You know, when I was 7 years old, I got saved. When I was 15, I said I'd never go back to church. When you tell God never, it's a funny thing what he does in your life. Because we had the Sunday school lesson this morning, choose. And the Sunday school teacher, I want to say to the Sunday school teacher, it said, today. Choose you today whom you'll serve. And I had a day like that in a motel in Cloquet, Minnesota. I wanted to take my life. I didn't want to live. I owned everything. I had a big log home, 75 acres, owned a business, beautiful wife, wonderful family, and I didn't want to live. I fell off the side of that bed that night and said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I surrendered to him, really, just surrendered to his lordship in my life. And maybe you've never done that. Maybe you're leading your own life. You know, you're your own man. It's an interesting life when you turn it over to him. Tonight, if you come, I heard you're going to have specials. I'm going to sing a song to my wife that she needs sang to her, because she's put up with a lot being married to me. I'm thankful that I got a wonderful bride. I've got everything I need. And it's because of him. He totally changed the direction of my life. All right? Totally changed it. And he'll do that. He'll do that for you when you come to him. If you come, he'll do that. We have Invitation Baptist Church, and I like to invite people to come because I believe it's right to invite people to come. Invite them every time. We're supposed to invite. And so today I'll be standing at the front of this church. You're here today without Christ, without hope. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to him. I challenge you to get up, make a public stand for him today, because that's what he wants from us, to be public with our faith. If you can't be public in this building, you'll never make it out there. And thanks be to God for his wonderful son. Scripture says, all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we're grateful for this day. We thank you for this time. Pray for Brother Bruce. Pray for the remaining of this service. Pray for the evening service. I ask, Lord, that you work through it all. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you for everything you put together here. Lord, you're so good to us. I pray, Lord, that we find nuggets, Lord, in your word that we can tell people what this did in our lives. Thank you for the book of Philippians. Thank you for how you've used it in my life. What a blessing, Lord. I thank you for being able to tell about all you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.